Call the meeting of Community and Regional Affairs to order. A couple of brief committee announcements. We'll, as I announced this morning, have a briefing at 1:30 on Thursday on the Alaska Coastal Policy Council regarding the status of the coastal zoning management program. I know those of you that have been in the session before, Senators Rohde and I'm sure you in the House, Representative Kelly, had that matter before you, and there are both some statute and regulation changes, and there's quite a bit of difference with the or the coastal zone management program is different than a lot of others, where the regulations have to come before the Senate and the House for approval. So I thought it would be helpful to us to get a little bit of background information and an idea of what they'll be bringing before us. And then we set a hearing on the litter bill for the 22nd of February, and I would appreciate any insight any committee members would like to pass along. I understand that there have been some very different figures utilized for the financing mechanism, and if you have any ideas, I would be very happy to hear about those, and we'll be meeting with Community and Regional Affairs and others and try to get more information on that. The purpose of the meeting today is really just to give us an overview of the situation in with the Kodiak annexation, and because of the large interest in that, we've set a joint committee hearing with the House CRA in Kodiak on the 10th. And before we leave today, I would like an indication from you, those that feel that they can attend the meeting. We can handle the scheduling through a joint effort of our office and Representative Parker's office, but it would be very helpful today if we could have at least a tentative agreement that you can go or can't go, and would also like to run by the place where we thought we'd make reservations for you. So let's just have it a real open presentation. We can hear from Community and Regional Affairs, and then Jack Chenoweth will come down and give us a little overview of the legal points here, and it's really just for us to learn today. We have with us Marge Gorsuch, who is the AA for Representative Parker in the back, and I'm afraid I don't have the gentleman's name here in front. Would you like to give us your name?
Are you leaving me?
Uh-huh.
I'm John Matthews with the Associated Press.
Very good, John. I hadn't had a chance to meet you.
Over.
And then we have from Community and Regional Affairs, and I hope they'll join us, both of them, the Commissioner Lee McInerney and Palmer McCarter, who's going to do the briefing. You both want to come up?
Palmer will do the briefing. I'm here. Just
would you like to join us at the table, Lee, or not, Palmer? Good. Now we save the important people to our meeting for last here today, who are going to tell us how we meet all of the people in Kodiak and have them love us when we leave.
Tony?
Okay, that'll be difficult. Good luck.
And Palmer, just however you want to handle this will be really fine.
I'm sorry I wasn't aware that that was going to be our purpose here. But
you were here just
we can wing it.
Listen, but Palmer can give a presentation.
Well, that's what we would like is an overview of what the issues are, why, you know, what's before us, what's involved here.
I'm not sure. I almost wish Jack were here, because I have a feeling we may end up saying the same thing over again. You have before you, by the Constitution and statute, there's a requirement that any recommendations that the Local Boundary Commission makes to the legislature must be introduced within the first 10 days of the session, and the legislature has 45 days from that date, or the end of the session, whichever is earlier, to act upon the recommendations of the Boundary Commission. The Boundary Commission this year submitted two recommendations to the legislature. One deals with a proposed annexation in Kodiak. The other deals with a fairly technical and, as far as we know, non-controversial boundary change in the Kenai Peninsula Borough. The two legislators from Kodiak, Senator Mulcahy on the Senate side and Representative Zong on the House side, have introduced resolutions. The law requires that if the legislature is to take action, it does so by approving a negative resolution against the action of the Boundary Commission. Going back in respect to the Kodiak situation, for some time, various residents near to what's known as the Mill Bay Road area had petitioned the city for annexation of their individual lots to the city.
If I can move back to the map, I can point out.
Might be helpful, Palmer, if you could tell us, when we land, I don't think everyone has had an opportunity to be there. When we come into Kodiak, are we able to get a little feeling of where the airport is, where we land, where?
I'm going to defer to Kodiak.
Yeah, and kind of.
Airport's out this way, out at what used to be the Navy base, and it's now the Coast Guard base. And so you come on in through here, and you start getting the cannery row or town population in here, that right about here, so that you're coming into the city proper in this area. And this is the downtown core area right down here with the Old Harbor out in front. The area that we're talking about is, that's in question, is this is the city boundary here. The area in question is, for annexation, is outlined in yellow, so that the hotels, borough assembly buildings, mm-hmm. everything is down in this
area. Yeah, I think that's helpful to give a little feeling of where we are.
Primarily for purposes of hooking onto the city's water and sewer, several of these lots were petitioning for annexation at that point. We suggested to the city to consolidate that effort. The city did come in with a petition, and I believe, according to our records, the date of the first hearing in Kodiak was December of 1977. At that time, the Boundary Commission suggested that they ought to come back in view of some pending studies that were being done under contract by the borough and the city. Wait for those studies that we're talking about, comprehensive planning and economic development of the area, to come back and hold a hearing concerning potential additional lands for annexation. And by statute and the Constitution, the Boundary Commission does have that authority to review any boundary change of city or borough government. The commission asked the department to do its independent study of the area and to make certain recommendations, which we did. And I'll even point out to the committee basically what our departmental recommendations were.
Palmer, was that a joint study in any effort, or was it, you know, were all the studies done really independently?
No, the one study that was particularly being waited upon by the Boundary Commission was one done by Kramer, Chin, and Mayo, and I'm not even sure what the title of it was. I think it had to do with comprehensive planning and economic development. I've already suggested that Gene might want to get a copy of that. Do you recall that one study?
I've seen it.
Yeah, I've forgotten the name of it. But there were four areas that the department investigated for the Boundary Commission. One that we refer to as the Mission Bay area, which is this lower area. Another, which is referred to as the Mill Bay Road area, or sometimes there's reference to this Island Lake, and that's in this area. The third area that was considered is referred to as the Monashka Bay, and I'm pointing generally because I forget the exact boundaries that were being considered at the time. And then the fourth area that the department viewed was the Coast Guard Station, which is in this end of town. We ultimately recommended that the Boundary Commission consider annexation of all four.
So but they always looked at it as contiguous areas, too.
They were all contiguous uh-huh. areas. The Boundary Commission went back to Kodiak, and again, the record shows what the date was, your statement of decision. And they held another public hearing. It goes without saying, I think, with most Boundary Commission, that the overwhelming testimony at those hearings was against the annexation. But the Boundary Commission did sit down and basically accepted two areas that the department had suggested, the Mill Bay and the Mission Road and the Mill Bay area. And have subsequently recommended that these two areas be annexed to the city of Kodiak. These two areas were, I believe they have contiguous boundaries with a service area that the borough created last year.
After the decision of boundaries?
It was not after the decision. It was after the decision that the Boundary Commission would come back in and investigate the possibility of annexation. Of course, there's been some friction between the city and the borough, and in fact, the borough and the Boundary Commission over that action. There is a citation both in the Constitution and state law that says a service area shall not be created if the services can be provided by incorporation as a city, by annexation to an existing city, or after what the third criteria is. There was a feeling that, knowing that this area might be looked at for annexation, that it was improper to create that service area, and certainly the test of could the services have been provided was easily met. The city could provide the services. The borough, in fact, in creating the service area to provide those services, has contracted with the city to provide the service. But anyway, these two areas that the Boundary Commission has submitted to the legislature, I don't want to swear, but I believe the boundary is more or less contiguous with that fire, water, and sewer service area that was created by the borough last year. Are you?
It would be.
I think it's awfully close. If there may be very, very slight differences. And basically, I think that's probably about all. The recommendation is one of the Boundary Commission. It's not a department recommendation as such, although we're certainly willing, or as we can assist the committee in its deliberation.
Palmer, we'll have some questions, but Jack Chenoweth, are you free for a while?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's.
I think, Jack, if the other committee did point out some of the legal responsibilities that I haven't covered yet.
Possibly, you could do that, and then we can get into some specifics with you. Jack, would you mind coming up and giving us a bit of an overview on the legal issues? Jack, I'd also appreciate, we have before us the request for the boundary adjustments for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. There's been no resolution entered, and the Boundary Commission, of course, is recommending those. There was a public hearing held. The Kenai Peninsula Borough was represented. I've talked to the mayor of the borough. Everything is fine, and I'm just wondering, though, if this committee should review, and if in some way we should report to the legislature that we approve of that particular boundary. If you feel you could give us any advice on that, because really all we have before us then will be the report of the Boundary Commission. Is it necessary, for instance, that we prepare and enter a resolution?
My name is Jack Chenoweth, and I am employed upstairs for the Legislative Affairs Agency. Friday, I was asked by Marge Gorsuch, who's the staff assistant for the House Community Regional Affairs Committee, to prepare some notes and suggested statements that might be useful to members of that committee to in its review of the Kodiak annexation. Looking at suggested points or subjects that the members of the committee might want to pick up and ask questions about in its own review of what the local Boundary Commission is recommending. And I did that yesterday, and I've been asked to sort of do it again today. So I will try. I think most of you here are either familiar with local Boundary Commission legislative process from past years of service in the legislature, or have a first-hand knowledge because of experience at the local government level, or in the case of Kodiak, because of the specifics of that annexation. So I hope I don't bore you by going over some of these things that you probably already know, and perhaps, hopefully, out of it, offer some ideas for suggested discussion later on. You, as members of the legislature and the state senate, are a part of the local government, local Boundary Commission review because of a constitutional clause, Article 10, Section 12, which says that a local boundary commission or board shall be established by law in the executive branch of the state government. The commission or board may consider any proposed local boundary change and may present proposed changes to the legislature during the first 10 days of any regular session. The change shall become effective 45 days after presentation or at the end of the session, whichever is earlier, unless disapproved by a resolution concurred in by a majority of the members of each house. There is a resolution, I believe, on the Senate side, I know there's one in the House, which is a resolution of disapproval of the Kodiak annexation. You are a part of a local government review process, and you're part of it because I think there are several things that need to be looked at that are in any local government boundary recommendation, any recommendation that's brought from the local Boundary Commission. The role, the specific role for the local, for the legislature, is not really spelled out, and there is nothing more than what I've read to you in the Constitution, and there really isn't very much in the way of the commentary that's provided with the Constitution, the verbatim transcripts and so forth, which leads me to suggest or to believe that the legislature's role is an oversight role that can be as broad or as narrow as the legislature chooses to focus it. And in that, from that perspective, let me suggest some of the things that I think the legislature can look at and may ask questions about with respect to any annexation, whether it's for Kodiak or any other place. First of all, I think it's well to realize or emphasize that cities and boroughs, which are the basic units of local government in Alaska, are political subdivisions of the state. And they are created to do things that the state itself could or should do, but which should be brought down to the local level for purposes of giving direction and giving local financial support. Consequently, I think one of the first questions that you have to ask yourself in any annexation, in any boundary change that's brought to you, is what is the effect of the proposed boundary change on any matters of state interest, however you define that matters of state interest? How does it affect state support, state financial support provided for programs? What are the fiscal considerations that have to be looked at? What are the program considerations, both from state programs, the programs that are initiated and carried on here at the state level by the different agencies, or from local program, from the perspective of local programs, which may be funded by the state and certainly are funded by local taxes. Particular, I think, to the Kodiak annexation would be the considerations that Palmer mentioned in conjunction with the service area discussion, that is the water and sewer and the road maintenance, as well as other functions that the city might be providing now that don't stop at the current city boundary. And I'm thinking there in terms of public safety. Presumably there is a city police force, presumably it patrols and is responsible for the enforcement of city ordinances within the current city of Kodiak. But what do people do when they need a policeman out in this area that's proposed for annexation now? And do they expect city ordinances and the enforcement of city ordinances to be taken over by the city police as distinct from the state troopers when this annexation goes through, if this annexation goes through? What is the effect on matters of state concern, state interest in this or any other annexation? The second point would be an analysis or an examination of the ability of the municipality, in this case the city of Kodiak, to provide services to the annexed area. Are they ready and willing to do it on March 9th or 10th, whatever the 45th day is, or as soon after there as is reasonably possible? If they do, if they can move police out into that area, if they can set a schedule for construction of water and sewer, or for extension of roads, or maintenance of roads, or whatever they have to do out there in this annexed area on the same basis as the existing city of Kodiak, will there be any strains put on the services that are presently provided within the city? The third point would be the effect on the residents of the existing city of Kodiak and the area proposed for annexation. Typically, when you get to this point, the first and only discussion turns on the question of taxes. People in the annexed area, for example, will usually yell loud and long that they don't want to pick up on the tax burden. But that's not the question. The question, I think, that I would ask would be whether the level of taxes begins to approximate the level of service, or vice versa, whether the level of service to be provided out there begins to approximate the level of taxes. In this particular annexation, I don't think a step annexation has been requested, so presumably this fiscal year, the people in the annexed area are going to have to bear the full city tax burden. Is the service level going to be roughly equivalent to the services that are being enjoyed now by people in the city of Kodiak? Is that tax impact going to be equitable across the entirety of the area proposed for annexation? A fourth question, possibly not so important in this context as it has been in years past in Anchorage, is the whole impact of this annexation on city and borough relations. Now, I don't know how many people are going to be involved in this annexation, whether it involves a substantial number of people or not. But you might ask yourself, if this annexation is allowed or if it's disallowed, what will be the impact on the way the city and the borough see themselves and see themselves in the division of responsibility for local government services in metropolitan Kodiak? Perhaps what is the impact going to be on the area not shown on this map, on the outlying villages around the perimeter of the island? The fifth point I'd make is to examine to see whether the local boundary commission has complied with its own procedures. There are regulations in 19AAC that are both procedural and make reference to certain standards. And to the extent that I think people introduce the idea or the suggestion that the boundary commission did not follow its own procedures, did not give notice, did not hold hearings, did not make a decision upon evidence that was in the record, or whatever it may be, you may want to go back and make sure that the boundary commission substantially complied with its own procedures. In part, I think, in order to save any expense for any litigation, oftentimes questions of whether compliance with standards was, or compliance with procedures was had, often takes people into court. And perhaps if there has been a tremendous variance from the standards before procedures established, you may want to short circuit that and make your own decision, interpose your own decision, and possibly avoid a extended litigation.
What do you mean by impose our own decision, Jack?
Impose?
What procedure are you trying? Do we ask you to review or
adopt
do we?
Adopt the resolution of disapproval. If the boundary commission went down there without notice, without hearing, made a decision without a hearing. I haven't heard in any of this that the boundary commission has done anything that it was in error on procedurally. And I'm not sure that I would counsel you to dig and find things, but if you're going to go to hearing, or if you're going to have people from Kodiak come down, or in the letters and things that may have already come, if there's a suggestion that the boundary
only that they didn't listen because 100 said they didn't want annexation and none were on the other side. No, I don't think
fortunately or unfortunately these things don't put a vote. Yeah. It's not a question of numbers. I guess those are the five points. Yesterday in the morning, the House Committee had the benefit of Hugh Malone's testimony. Mr. Malone, in addition to being a former Speaker of the House, is also a former member, if not chairman, of the local boundary commission, I think prior to the start of his House service. His testimony was somewhat different from mine because he focused on two points, and I think they're well worth repeating if he's not here. One, of course, the question of the state interest, which is the one that I introduced at the outset. But I think the more important one, and I think that he put his finger right on it, and that is the decision substantially equitable? Is it fair? Does it do fairness to all concerned, the city, the borough, the people in this area? That, I think, is the crux, the heart of why the legislature is asked to step in or has the opportunity to step in and set aside a boundary commission decision. One other point that I was pressed on yesterday in terms of what can we do, and perhaps that might be worth a moment of your time. You can adopt the resolution, which presumably is in front of you, to annul or set aside the annexation. That's one option that you have. Or you can do nothing. That's another option that you have. But let's suppose that you want to do something in between. You can't redraw the lines. That is not a prerogative of this committee or of the legislature. But there is a precedent for the legislature's at least taking a stronger role than the all or nothing option that seems to come out from the appear from the language of the Constitution. And it's based upon something that happened down in Seward, maybe the commissioner might remember. Back in the 60s, and I Marge is still here, so I'm going to have to correct something I put on the record yesterday. Back in the 60s, at the time of the earthquake, the city of Seward was expanded in size by a legislative act. The legislature got in and passed an act expanding the size of the city of Seward. The next year, there was pressure put on to set aside some of those annexations by legislative act, and the House did pass legislation to reduce the size of the city of Seward. When it got to the Senate was told by the then director of the local affairs agency that that was not the proper way to do it. The Senate then dropped the legislation approach, but enacted its own resolution calling upon the local boundary commission to go back in and take a second look at those boundaries that the legislature itself had drawn the year before. And the local boundary commission did do that, took that resolution, that simple Senate resolution, did hold more hearings, and in 1966 came in with a recommendation that the city of Seward's boundaries be retracted. What I'm saying, I guess, is this. An option that's available to you is to allow the annexation to go through if you wish, but if you feel it's too expansive for one reason or another and want to focus on just one portion of the annexation, you might propose a separate concurrent resolution to the local boundary commission asking that they take a look again at a particular portion of the area annexed. As Representative Parr pointed out yesterday, that doesn't guarantee that the boundary commission is going to give you the result you want. It only directs them to go back and do it a second time.
Mr. Chairman, let me ask a question on that. Now, with a little bit different situation in the Kodiak had gone through, and so obviously you, in order to make a statutory change, it would have to be, you'd have to amend the statutes, and they just did this by resolution. But since we are acting before the fact, if you will, we still have an option. What would it take for us to change that boundary commission action? You say that cannot be done. There's no way that you could do that by enacting a statute.
We would draft to a statute, but I think it would come down to a cover memo saying it was unconstitutional because
okay.
It's local or special legislation.
Okay.
That seems to be the crux of the warning that came down 14 or 15 years ago.
So in other words, it would have to take effect, and then we would just ask for a review. Okay.
Yes.
That's good to know.
So you do have, I think, that third option. One further point with respect to Kenai. I do not think it's necessary to do anything. If you are satisfied that this recommendation with respect to the Kenai borough boundary is to correct technical deficiencies, it's probably best that you do nothing and let the boundary commission recommendation as it has been reported stand. I don't think it's necessary to make any kind of report to the full legislature, to the full Senate, but you've gone over and accepted it. Presumably, you will have done that, or if you haven't, if you find some objection to it, you'll put a resolution in and urge its passage.
My four committee members, I will bring before you a letter from the Kenai Commission of Borough giving their involvement and role in it and asking if, to their knowledge, if there are any objections or problems raised by residents, just so that we'll have that to supplement the report of the local boundary commission. But apparently it's just a very technical matter that was actually uncovered, I believe, by the community and region affairs.
No, by the Forest Service.
Fine. Let's throw it open to committee members if we have any questions of either Palmer or Mr. McCarter or Mr. Chenwick. Commissioner McNerney, you have?
Well, I just wanted to ask Jack for clarification. As I recall on that Seward annexation after the earthquake, it was for quite a few miles north of the city, and the legislature stepped in and did it by legislation. And wasn't that considered unconstitutional, that they hadn't used the proper constitutional procedures?
I don't think it's been tested. I haven't seen this been tested.
And one of the things I think on that was that the people north of the city felt the city would not be able to give them the services.
Sure. I think right after, the record shows that right after that happened by legislative action, there was a tremendous pressure to undo it or undo mm-hmm. part of it. And so in 65, new legislation was drawn up and put in the House and passed the House and was stopped in the Senate when the senators decided that they would use the expediency of a resolution to the boundary commission, telling the boundary commission to go in there and look at it, that they didn't want to deal with it anymore. And I think the reason they did that was because somebody finally got up and said, you don't do it this way.
Okay.
So the boundary commission's recommendation came in 66 and set aside most of that same area.
Yeah. All right, are there Senator Stimson?
Madam Chairman, question, Jack. You made reference to step annexation, just collaterally there. What is that and what is the implication if it's not used then?
Well, it's a procedure set out in the statutes whereby an area can be proposed for annexation and brought into, in this case, let's say a city, but as a condition of the annexation, it's required that the city council spell out the levels of services that will be brought out into this annexed area over a period of up to 5 years, and go to a maximum of 5 years. And this translates over into a percentage of the full amount of levy. If the city of Kodiak had a 15 mil levy for city purposes, and Spruce Cape and Island Lake were proposed for annexation, as an alternative to this direct immediate annexation, it could have been proposed that these areas be brought in on a step basis, where they would have been annexed immediately, but Kodiak City would have had to spell out the expected timetable for providing certain services out there, and then the millage rate would have been translated on the same basis as a percentage, so that over the next period of years, up to 5 years, as new services went out into the area, people began to pay a higher and higher amount of the millage rate until they got up to the same level as people who already live in the city, whatever that millage rate was in that third or fourth or fifth year. That's not the method that was proposed or adopted this time.
If I could pursue that just a little bit further. What, just from your observations, and maybe that's what you're going to tell us, what does this tell you if the community isn't requesting a step annexation? I mean, it sounds like something that in many cases is necessary.
On the face of it, it tells me that the city of Kodiak feels that it's ready and willing to put a full range of services out into the area annexed virtually immediately. Now, in fairness, I think the record shows that the source of the petitions for annexation were people who lived adjacent to the city of Kodiak, who wanted some lots added in. Along that one road there, Mill Bay Road, you see kind of a gerrymandered boundary, and that is the result of people who wanted to petition their way in over the years on an individual basis because they were already adjacent to the city of Kodiak, they were willing to pay a higher millage rate, they wanted the opportunity to receive a full range of services. Gradually, other people in that area felt the same way. That's the genesis, I believe, the record shows, of the annexation petition. Now, whether the city of Kodiak feels that it can provide the full range of services out into the area that the Boundary Commission is proposing, you're going to either have to get from the record or from asking city officials in your own hearings.
It might be helpful, Palmer, if you could tell, just since we're here to learn, a little bit about how step annexation has been used. For instance, in Anchorage, Senator Stimson, if you'll recall the tremendously gerrymandered area to the east of town, the reason that developed step annexation was used almost solely as a vehicle with undeveloped land where a subdivider, whether it was Paul Boniface is one that did this several times, and Dr. Mills, would come in and want to subdivide and develop that particular thing and want very limited services. And it created some real problems in the way the town knew, in a way you were kind of knocking off certain special areas. It was a very good break for the subdivider, but it was not so good for the residents of the city. I don't know if it's been used successfully in other areas or not.
I in the time I've been with the department, there has not been one step annexation.
Yeah.
Is Rangel on? Or do they
It's not a step.
I was going to point out, Jack, I think one reason the step annexation hasn't been all that successful or used that much, there is another option available, and it's not required by law, but the city can establish differential tax zones, and I don't believe they're proposing to do it in Kodiak. They did do it last year in Petersburg, and I believe in Rangel they did it, and I...
Seward also. They annexed 4th of July because they couldn't provide the services that the council said there'd be no tax for the services that went through it. And they annexed that 4th of July area.
Anyway, that is another option that the city can have, and I think that's probably tended to diffuse the step annexation process.
Mm-hmm. Further questions, Senator McKay?
Madam Chairman, I'd just like to point out that although I don't know the mechanics of it and wasn't involved in it, but the Island Lake area.
Could we see that on the map? Which was the Island Lake?
This area out here at one time in the mid-60s did try to have step annexation just to include, there's a fairly heavy population right around the lake. And they did, and they ran into difficulties with the Boundary Commission, and I don't know what they were, that the petition that they had drawn up for it was correct 2 years ago, but it wasn't correct at that time. it was a mechanical thing that stalled it off and stalled it off, and then it died down the vine. Probably, I won't say, I don't know, but maybe the city might not.
Was the non-contiguous annexation that we were asking for?
I'm not sure.
Vaguely, I recall.
I wonder if there are other questions of Mr. Chenoweth. I don't want to hold you if you're busy turning out that 1,500 bills that we need to have before we can close the session. Are there other questions?
30 days.
I need to get the mechanics of, well, that was what happened in your last legislature. What is the situation now? You provide staff to the local boundary commission. Your role would be only if one of the committees asked you to review and make comment on it. What legal resources have there been to the local boundary commission? Do they have their own attorney, or do they,
An attorney on the, I think the attorney is generally appointed on the commission.
I see, of course.
By statute, isn't it, Jack? Or by tradition?
By tradition, we've had one for 5, 10 years.
Yeah.
So they use the Department of Law?
Law is the.
Okay, just so I get that in my head. All right, fine. Are there other questions of Ms. Chenoweth? Appreciate very much your coming, and we might possibly ask you to take a look at the, to see if all of the conditions were met, of public notice and so on, to look at the record, but we'll contact you if there's anything. I would be interested, if you have that information, Palmer, to tell us a little bit about that area, like density of population, type of services that people might be asking, the difference in the mill levies, and.
A couple of points. We do have a file. We only have one copy. We haven't gone to the time or expense of Xeroxing it. But if anybody should want it, we would make it available to the committee for Xeroxing. There's also worth about 12 to 16 hours of tape for the two public hearings and the one decisional meeting.
And they have not been transcribed?
They have not been transcribed. The department has never transcribed those tapes, and there was some interest on the House side to get transcripts. And I think they've changed their mind now, and basically we're saying the tapes are, in fact, the tapes are over in the House committee for review by anybody that wants to review those tapes.
Yeah, just a second before you begin, Senator Hackney is in here in the audience, and I hope if you have any questions, you'll let us know, and we'll be very happy to hear from you if you have a special interest other than just sitting and listening.
If I might point out a couple of, not necessarily errors, but they might be misleading from this map. The area outlined in yellow here referred to as Gibson Cove is already part of the city of Kodiak. It may appear as though it's a new area. Also, the boundary that's in, the boundary, let me back up. These islands have been in the city of Kodiak for some time. There is a line that goes out in the water now that will include these. So again, this yellow line and the old blue line won't be here. There is a new line that goes down off the map and will include these islands, which have heretofore been part of the city of Kodiak.
That map should be corrected if that's the one we take, so that it reflects that, shouldn't
okay.
it?
Okay, yeah. I think the city has other maps there, and we'll double check that. All before right. you go out. There is a borough planning department. Again, we did make a report to the Boundary Commission. As I recall at the time we made our report, the Mission Road area had a population of, I think it was around 450 to 500, something in that neighborhood. This Island Lake, Mill Bay Road area had a population of roughly 900. And those population figures were provided by the borough government. So you're looking at, if the annexation were to be approved for these two areas, of approximately 1,500 additional residents. Currently within the city, I believe there's 5,700 and something people in the current city. In the entire Kodiak Island borough, which is Kodiak Island, there's roughly 8,000 people, I believe. Mm. So this would mean an addition of about 1,500 people into the city of Kodiak. One of the reasons the Boundary Commission did not go ahead and approve our recommendation of the Menashka Bay area, it was a lower density. I think they figured there were only about 100 people living out there in that area. And of course, from the departmental viewpoint, that's the time to annex is before the people get there, not after. The Coast Guard station, I think, had about 3,000 people, and one of the reasons the Boundary Commission did not was the city reversed its earlier decision on that and suggested that perhaps the Coast Guard station ought to be left separate from the city. There was some concern in the other committee as to, by adding 1,500 more people into the city, is this going to screw up the composition of the Borough Assembly? And I think for the information of this committee, the Kodiak Island Borough, now the five members are elected at large from throughout the borough, so this change of boundary from city to borough should not have any effect on that. There was some concern in other cities, that's been a concern, I think, perhaps in the Anchorage situation at one time, there was some concern as to city-borough apportionment on the assembly at the time they had institutional representation. But Kodiak Island does not have weighted voting on its borough assembly, does not have institutional representation. People are elected at large, and as far as I can see, that should not be an issue raised by either the city or the borough.
Plummer, my math is correct. We're talking, your population figure was obviously excluding the ADAC for the Kodiak Island borough, right?
The Coast Guard station.
Yeah, it excludes it. Okay, if you've got 5,700 in the city and about 1,400, 1,500 in the area to be annexed, you're over 7,000, and you really are, in effect, leaving very, very limited population in that area.
Why don't, James, perhaps just read the numbers there from the map of borough and city.
All right, within Kodiak Island Borough, we have 8,926, okay. 8,926.
Really nine, almost 9,000.
Mm-hmm. Right. City of Kodiak, 5,754.
And the area proposed for annexation would bring in about an additional 1,500 people, which would add to the city.
Slightly over. It would be about 1,700 then that would be outside.
Other than that, I don't know exactly what the committee member. I don't know, is the committee understand? I know Senator Rohde, and I believe you do, and Senator Kelly, the powers of the Boundary Commission, or who's on the Boundary Commission? Or,
why don't you just give a little overview, whatever information I think will
okay,
be
basically, the Boundary Commission is a board that Jack read was constituted by reference in the Constitution. There was some feeling apparently by the framers of the Constitution that there needed to be an independent board that would be somewhat removed and hopefully objective about state interests in boundaries between cities or boroughs. And so the five-member Boundary Commission, local Boundary Commission, was created by statute. The members serve for five-year terms. By statute, they must be representative of the four senatorial districts, the old senatorial districts of the state, with the chairman automatically from the coming from the Anchorage district. The five members currently are Sheila Gallagher, who is chairman from Anchorage, who is an attorney and has had prior municipal attorney background. Joe Anderson represents the Southeast senatorial district. She's from Wrangell. C.B. Bettisworth, whose father is now on the House side, is, I believe, an architect, planner from Fairbanks. Ed Hobson from Barrow is the member from the Northern District. And Sig Strandberg is the member from the South Central District. As I mentioned, Sheila Gallagher is also from that district, and I think they refer to her as the member at large and the chairman.
Are there other questions of Palmer? Senator Stimson?
Let's see. I had one. I've lost it.
While searching there for the recollection, a question, Palmer. Have there been, you delivered local services throughout the state. Have there been problems from the any of the state departments as to water and sewer problems. Kodiak has had a history of water problems. Are there any overall community health safety standards that have come to your attention that are perhaps created by the lack of a coordinated local government?
For, I'd say for several years, and again, Senator Mulcahy being from this area can probably speak more finely to it than I can. I know there has been problems, particularly with this Island Lake region of particularly sewage, and I don't know to what extent water. I'm not sure what the resolve is, whether the new service area that's been created could potentially solve that. Obviously, annexation should be a resolution to that problem. The conflict, if you will, between the city and borough government, there's probably always been some. It's probably become more apparent in the past 3 years as we view it. And I think that probably results from the fact that in prior years, the borough government wasn't a particularly strong government in Kodiak. It basically operated education, which had its own separate school board. It operated taxation and assessment and taxation and operated planning. It at one point did adopt on a non-area-wide basis the recreation powers, but that's been fairly recently. And then more recently, of course, it has created this sewer, water, and fire service district in this area that's now being proposed for annexation.
Senator Stinson?
Thank you. I wanted to ask something more of a general nature. When you were making your presentation, you made reference to the fact that the people living in the area seldom like the idea of annexation. This is my first experience with anything like this, and I'm just getting an overwhelming number of letters from people opposing it, and nothing from anybody that supports it. I would assume then that isn't necessarily an indication of how good an idea the annexation is, and that we can't necessarily anticipate letters from people supporting the annexation.
That's true, and certainly our involvement as assistance, as providing assistance to the Boundary Commission. The experience has typically been that people, there are options. If people want to be annexed, they can petition the Borough Assembly and to be annexed. This legislative review routine, which does involve the Boundary Commission going in, sometimes had smacks of being cramming it down our throat. But that's why the Constitution, I think, envisioned there would be those types of problems as the state develops down the road, and that's why that board was outlined and set forth by the Constitution for the very purpose.
Then is there no provision for the local boundary commission to recommend or to provide for an election for the people to have a choice? Is that what you're saying?
There is that option, yes, for an election.
They could make that recommendation.
Well, it wouldn't be in the procedure of the boundary commission. The people themselves could approach the assembly. The assembly could call for an election.
I assume we're way past that point.
We're way past that point.
But the local boundary commission would not make the recommendation to hold an election then.
It typically wouldn't. There was some discussion in the Chugach Eagle River instance of holding an election there, and they decided not to. It would be advisory to them only. I think that was one reason they did.
Thank you.
Senator Kelly?
Madam Chair, Palmer, first, the Eagle River Chugach area was decided not to for them. They didn't make the decision in Eagle River Chugach. But has there ever been an annexation election in this area? Is anybody aware of it?
Yeah.
Senator McKay?
Madam Chair, there was, I believe in 1970, that they had this same type of situation came in with a recommendation for annexation to the Boundary Commission. And there had been an election shortly prior to that, you know, months prior to that. And at that time it was stopped, I believe, in the Boundary Commission because the city at that time was overwhelmingly against it. The borough was against it. The people that were living with it against it. So it didn't quite get this far. And you might correct me, I believe they came in and said, you will provide these services within the year. and the city said we didn't have the money to provide them within the next 10 years. You know, it was this type of a situation.
Commissioner? Yes, Madam Chair.
Not in connection with the Boundary Commission and the annexation, but the reason that the borough representation is at large is because of the way the statutes are and the elections held in Kodiak. They couldn't get enough votes, so that decision was made by me. I had people in the department that went around on hearings and said, well, yes, we prefer to barge, particularly in the villages. And so generally, the department is very, you know, careful of elections and trying to do what the people in the area really want. We did get some complaints on at large, but it was a perfectly legal procedure. And the Boundary Commission, within the way it is operated, you know, has done it within the legal confines of what, as they see it. And yes, that time, I mean, I think the election, but they just couldn't get their act together.
Senator Kelly?
So as I understand it, then the Assembly of the City of Kodiak could have provided for an election to be held. They chose not to and went straight to the Boundary Commission instead.
The election would have been held by the Borough Assembly.
By the Borough Assembly.
So it would need then to do that. I imagine there are probably two ways, am I correct, that that could be accomplished? One would be by action of the Assembly to create an ordinance calling for the election. Secondly, would be by petition of those people in the area to be annexed. And so that's a very difficult political thing just to achieve that. And I'm wondering, it seems to me that if that went to a vote, it would be overwhelmingly the large area taking in the small. Is that correct or not, Senator McKay?
I just want to interject, Madam Chairman, that evidently, the borough elected this fall rather than to put annexation on the ballot in their October borough election. They put service district in.
That was in.
And it was defeated. It had one of the biggest voter turnouts.
All right, now.
The service area did pass.
Did the service? No,
they have the service area.
Well, did they got the?
No, the service area.
Then it just passed.
I believe what Senator Mulcahy maybe
excuse me. Just one second here. Senator Rowley's going to have to go. Do you have any last minute questions?
No, ma'am.
Number one, will you be able to, or do you plan to attend the meeting?
If that is the will of the chair, yes.
Yes, I would say all of those of you that feel you would like to go, it's an issue we've had a lot of debate on. I think it's important that we go to the community. Mm-hmm. I'll have Secretary contact you then about travel.
I think it's the only way that they'll get a fair hearing.
That's the way I think they feel. Fine, thank you. Excuse me, Palmer, do you want to?
There was the question, and that's come out in the other committee too, has there been attempts to unify the two governments?
Mm-hmm.
And there was on the ballot this fall an election for unification, and or at least shall we unify and elect a charter commission. That ballot did go down, which is again fairly typical in Anchorage, for example, and you're very familiar with that. It went down, I think, three times before unification finally came about. And this was the first attempt in Kodiak. Both the city and the borough, at least, are stating that they favor unification. And so it has some long-range possibilities, but at this point,
do you recall if that failed in both?
If I recall correctly, it failed both in the city, and it failed fairly overwhelmingly in the village areas.
Well, now, isn't this one step toward unification? Essentially, if we annex 1,500 additional people, isn't that pretty much the entire ballgame? If it's 5,700, 1,800, that's 7,300 out of 8,900. They don't have a split there.
Right, but there are five second-class cities and three unincorporated villages on that island would have to be part of that unification effort. And they're very independent and very
self-sustaining.
Senator Kelly, I think one of the things that this court's going to have to rule on, somebody will bring a case, is that part that calls for both the area inside and outside to have separate majorities. And I think that might be
like
very
40%.
Interesting. No, I'm not talking about 40%, the separate majorities. I think that's very questionable if that's ever pursued in court. And it may be an area, you know, an area like this, you may never be able to get agreement of those cities within, it's an interesting possibility.
I might, unless there's other questions, just throw out three or four kind of general comments. Again, these are based on experience. We've already suggested that the overwhelming testimony that you might hear or that's come before the Boundary Commission before typically is against the annexation. Perhaps it's human nature. Perhaps there are in some instances very good legitimate reasons why people feel they should not be annexed. But the primary reason most people don't want to be annexed is because it will mean increase in property taxes. And if you ask anybody who wants to pay any property tax, not too many are willing to say yes. Most people generally agree in private or when challenged on the stand, are you using the city services and facilities for which you would pay these taxes? Typically they'll say yes, although most like the idea of being able to live on a fringe of an area and not have to pay the tax if they can get away with it. So basically those that are living there now have a good reason why they will want to try to fight the annexation. And probably another common theme that we've noticed is for about a year there's maybe some hue and cry, and certainly in this committee you'll think that those people are going to go out and commit suicide if they're annexed or whatever. It'll sound very traumatic, but again the experience has been that usually after a year most people forgot that they were not previously part of the city. That's assuming that the city makes good on its abilities to I guess Chugach Eagle River might still be an exception to that rule. We've already mentioned that the city does have the option, if it is unable to provide all the services, of going for the differential tax zone. We've indicated that, again, from the departmental viewpoint and the Boundary Commission viewpoint, we think there was some bad faith on the part of the borough in creating that service area, knowing that potentially it might be annexed. And we think, in fact, that if this legislature disapproves that annexation, that there will, in fact, be a court case to see if that service area should have been allowed to be created in view of the constitutional mandate that says service areas shall not be created if the area can be annexed. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else.
Okay, any questions by any of the senators? Terry?
I should know this by now, but I'm not sure where the service area is then.
A service area is, you might think of it as a subunit of a borough government. Cities cannot create a service area. A service area is a geographical area of within the borough that is created to provide a special service or a higher or lower level of service. And we don't have too many in the state. In fact, I don't know of any right now that provide higher level higher or lower levels of service. Although you might look, those that live in Juneau, there is somewhat that type of a higher level service in the sense that throughout the unified municipality of Anchorage, there's one basic level and then you have another level and a third one. And Anchorage, of course, had, before unification, the borough had several service areas with the unified municipality. They still maintain service areas that provide police in this area or fire in this area or whatever.
Then is the existing service area this yellow line here?
Again, with the possible exception of some minor deviation, and it would probably be up here, it is this area in yellow that's outside of the blue.
Now, was that created at this election that we talked about?
That was at a special election held in April, I believe, that they created a service district. The service district is to provide water, sewer, and fire.
Water, sewer, and fire.
The borough levies a mill rate on top of its basic borough-wide levy for those services. And I forget exactly what it is now. The borough does not have the staff or the fire trucks or the whatever, so they have subsequently turned around and contracted with the city to provide those services.
So that's in existence and functioning right now?
I don't know. Senator Mulcahy could probably, I'm not sure the status of particularly the sewer and water, I presume fire is there.
Senator, do you know whether they've fully implemented that district?
For water?
The water, sewer, and fire?
No. They contract out to the city for their fire protection, and the state troopers are taking care of, the state police are taking care of the police protection, and the water, sewer is in limbo.
Is in limbo?
There's a big fight
going on.
There is a section along here, this area here that the military put in, or no, I think urban renewal, right after here.
Urban renewal, after, yeah.
Put a water line in out here, and they pay a user's fee, it's as a fee on top of what we pay in the city by a few dollars out in there. And then there's been, out in this direction, there's been water that's a, adding a hose to a hose and a Goodwill type thing that's developed with plastic pipe and it keeps getting smaller to get the end that the city wish now that they hadn't had the Goodwill that they had 10 years ago. But it's a real jury rig system out towards Island Lake, a very usable system on the Bruce Cape Road.
Any other questions? Fine. Anything else, Paul?
Again, one final point. There is, of course, some people wonder, is this the ultimate resolve to a boundary issue? And of course, aggrieved residents, assuming you were to approve or disapprove, can take this to court, and quite often, in fact, these matters, once they've gone through the legislature, do go to court. And not to suggest that the Boundary Commission's always right, but I can't think of one instance where the Boundary Commission has been overturned by the court. In fact, again, going back to that Chugach River one, which I'm sure parts of you don't want to hear, there's some feeling that the court gave the Boundary Commission more power than any of us felt it had before. It talked about it as being quasi-judicial and what have you. Which,
I'd be
was very interested
to know how has the legislature generally reacted to the local Boundary Commission recommendations?
I think it was the year that Kodiak came in, because I happened to be in Cordova at the time. Cordova was the first one that the Boundary Commission had ever overturned as far as the recommendation of the Boundary Commission.
No, you mean that the legislature overturned?
Sorry, that the legislature
overturned.
Subsequently, Haynes, I guess they overturned.
Senator Kelly?
As a rule, they don't.
Madam Chairman, Palmer, you stated that, are you saying in effect that even if we overrule the Boundary Commission's decision, that it's not going to make any difference because
of
the
No. You didn't say that.
No, I'm just saying that you've got the power, of course, to overturn the Boundary Commission decision. I'm just suggesting in this case that probably the city then would take the issue to court, not on your authority to overturn the Boundary Commission, but on the merits of should that service area have been created or should the area be annexed, what have you.
They would take the annexation question to court?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we had dealt with the annexation question.
You have the authority to overturn it, and if you do, it's just then what the court case wouldn't be against the legislature. It would be on the issue of should these people be annexed or not, or should that service area have been created.
Commissioner?
There's one thing, Madam Chair, that hasn't been brought up this afternoon, and that's a section in the Constitution, I can't remember which it is, it says about governmental units. And they don't want a proliferation of governmental units. They'd rather have more, those fewer.
You're talking about
the Constitution of the state
speaks to that as a reason for.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. We'll pull that constitutional provision and make it available. Senator.
Madam Chair, I'd like to point out to the group here that there is, I believe, and I haven't gone into it, an EPA type mandate on the number of residents in the Island Lake area that they clean up their act.
EPA.
Environmental Protection Agency. And that they have to take some direction, whether it's service district or annexation.
Now, is that the state you're talking about?
I'm sure it is the state, but I won't speak.
Well, it's the federal through the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Okay.
But there is funding for the water and sewer projects out there, and that's part of the idea of creating that service district. In order to get those federal funds, the city and the borough had to agree to a proposed regional use of the sewer treatment facility. But now they're, in actuality, fighting over how it will be implemented.
Procedure. I thought it should be a...